Oh Lord, we thank you for even the truth of what we just sang. Think what spirit dwells within us. Think what Father's smiles are ours. Think that Jesus died to win us. Oh Lord, truths that are big and beautiful and good. And Lord, we know they come to us from your word. And so we go back to your word this morning to hear the truth and the hope of the gospel. We pray it would be spoken clearly and received truly. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We turn with me to page 9 in your order of worship, or Exodus 20. Before we begin, just want you to know, if you look on page 10, there are a series of scripture verses there that we'll be going through during the sermon. So you don't have to read them all now. We'll get to them, but you can follow along as we do. Hear the word of the Lord from Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, this is the ninth commandment. You shouldn't bear false witness, which has a bit of a courtroom sense to it, of someone getting on the witness stand and giving false testimony about what's happening. God means more, it's talking about something bigger than what happens in a courtroom. He's talking about what happens in all of life. The ninth commandment essentially says, do not lie. Do not tell falsehoods. Don't arrange stories so they kind of fit your agenda. The ninth commandment is about any form of deception. It's bearing all forms of false witness, whether that's exaggeration, whether that's minimizing or diminishing or smudging, or just plain saying something that's not true. I remember the first time I ever heard an adult lie. Big moment when you're younger. And it was Bill Clinton. This is a national moment, right? Bill gets on TV, our president, and he says, I did not have relations with that woman. And I was like, he did not have relations with that woman. He said it very, like, you know, passionately. And of course, I later found out he did have relations with that woman. And then what he did, what was so shocking, is he, on TV, in front of me, he told a lie. And it was it was a shocking experience. It was almost a rite of passage into the real world of lies, the adult world of lies, because that's where we live. We live in a world of lies. It's all around us. You see it everywhere. You see it in our little southernisms. You know, my grandmother used to lie all the time, because she would say, whenever someone was doing something that she didn't approve of, she would say, well, bless your heart. Which is a lie, isn't it? I mean, what she's essentially saying is, hey, you know, what she's trying to say, which is the lie, is like, hey, everything you're doing is fine. What she really isn't saying is, what you're doing is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And I don't approve of it. I've noticed my beloved wife has picked up a few of these southernisms over the years. Might I pick on you for a moment? She has this friend, and this friend of hers loves to talk. Loves to talk on the phone especially. Like, this woman can go on for an hour and a half on the phone. Like, and I always know who Arden is talking to, because at about an hour mark, which is a really, really long time, Arden will say, all right, let me let you go. Which is just an unbelievable saying, right? Let me let you go. And it's actually a complete lie, right? Because what you're trying to say to the person is, you know, I don't want to put you out and hold you hostage in this conversation. The truth is the opposite. You are holding me hostage, and I'm trying to nicely get out of this conversation. We tell little lies all the time. We lie on our phones. You know, we get a text message in the morning, hey, you want to go to lunch? And then we don't see the text message until after lunch. That's what everybody says, right? And then we text back, oh, sorry, I missed it. We'll catch you next time, which is a lie. I had a friend this week, and he was standing about 30, 40 yards from me, and he didn't see me. We were out in a public place. And I knew I was about 50-50 with this guy, whether he liked me or not, so I thought I'd pester him. So I called him, and I saw him pick up his phone. Have you been caught doing this before? Boom, silence, in the pocket, and I was like, I got him now. I bugged him about it. It was all good-hearted fun. We lie in our social media posts. We paint this picture of how great and awesome our life is. You know, everything is wonderful. Did you see me floating away on that boat into the sunset with a wet line? And that's not necessarily a lie. That could have happened. You took a picture of it. It was happening. The lie is when I try to put up that this moment is a banner. This moment is an event that's indicative of the whole of my life. And I want you and I want to believe that this is what my life really looks like all the time. When truthfully, my life is a mess. When truthfully, 30 seconds before that picture was taken, I was yelling at everybody on that boat to act right so I could take the picture. I was at a pastor's meeting this weekend. I've never been around a more self-aggrandizing, exaggerating group of people than pastors. We are the worst. I'm telling you, I heard more stories of how everybody's church is growing like crazy, and I've come to a conclusion with this after doing this for many years, that if every pastor's church was growing as quickly as they say it were growing, Jesus would have come back by now. Because there would be nobody left to save. We brag and we lie. We exaggerate. Abortion is a lie. Bill Maher, he's a left-leaning, I guess, he speaks on, I don't know what you call him, pundit maybe. He said this week, abortion is kind of murder. And he said, I'm okay with that. And that's the first time I've ever heard anyone who is pro-abortion be actually honest about what it is. It's murder. But we lie about it. We aren't pro-murder, we are pro-choice. The catchphrases say everything. In all, I think we live in a culture of lies. Postmodernism has been nothing but a philosophy of lying. So that in postmodernism, truth is said to be relative, that it's not absolute, that it is a no truth. Nothing can really be known for sure. Everything that we claim as truth is really just personal bias or viewpoint or preference, or we can only know subjective experience. Postmodernism codifies lying by expressly denying that there is a thing called the truth. And that idea, you may not even know what postmodernism is, but it has infected our culture so widely and so deeply that we don't even recognize it anymore. Lying seems like a perfectly normal, perfectly acceptable way to live. And of course, this is all perfectly in the plan of the one whom Jesus calls the chief liar. Jesus says this about Satan. You can see it in John 8. He says, Satan does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When Satan lies, Jesus says, He speaks out of his own character, for Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. So Jesus says Satan is the chief liar, and he loves that our world is committed to breaking the ninth commandment continually. All of this begs the question, why do we lie? I mean, you all are grown-ups, you know why. We lie because we think in doing so we will gain something more easily than if we had told the truth. Our southern lies gain us other people's approval. They gain us a sense of upholding our reputation. We lie so that we get out of certain consequences that could happen by the truth coming out. We lie about things like abortion because we don't want to feel guilty about the things that we're doing. Lying always seems like the quick and easy way to get the things that we want. And I say seems like because it never works like that. Lying never ultimately gets us what we want, because the Lord has this law, this natural law that he has put in place in the universe that says something like this: lying always has consequences. Jesus talks about this. He says this in John 8, verse 34. He says, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." So Jesus is saying the consequence of sin is slavery. Lying, according to the Ten Commandments, is a sin. So the result of our breaking of the ninth commandment is to become a slave to our lies. Slavery is not a good image here. It's not, no big deal, moving on. No, slavery is a devastating image. Slaves work and they work and they work, and they never get paid a just wage. Slaves are told what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Slaves have no freedom. And what Jesus is saying here is that this sin of lying, this is the master. That if you lie, you become a slave to your lies. You've had this experience before, right? Have you ever told an untruth, a little lie? And you think it's going to be fine, you think you're going to move past it, but you're always looking over your shoulder. You're always worried and concerned that you're going to get found out and someone's going to know the truth about you. And what you really come to realize is that living the lie is worse than the punishment of telling the truth. Lying is a slave master. He dictates your life. He gives consequence. The biggest consequence of this, of bearing false witness, is the breaking of trust. So that what lying does is it kills relationships, good relationships, loving relationships, true relationships, because it breaks the foundation of those relationships, which is trust. This is why your parents told you at a very young age, it doesn't matter what you do, whatever happens, whatever goes wrong, never lie to me. Anybody ever say that to you? Because this is the foundation. Lying is a devastating sin. It has great consequences. I had this friend who found out that his wife had been cheating on him for the past 10 years. And that was horrible. But as I was walking through it with him, what I found out that was even worse was that she had lied the whole time. And it was the lying that was crushing him. It was the lies that had unmade him. The affair was bad. It was the lying that was the death knell. And it crushed him. Because what happened was he was forced to go back and sort of relive his life and rehearse every scene and try to say, well, what was true and what was a lie? And in all, he lost a decade of his life, basically. He didn't know what was true and what, you know, he told this story in tears to me one time of he and his wife being at this baseball game, and they were at this Major League Baseball game, and it was so great, so much fun, you know, one of those take selfies and smile, and it's actually, that's what it is, because you're having a great time. And then he starts thinking about it now, and he's thinking, well, was she texting the other guy while we were there? When was the last time she had seen him? And he starts thinking, like, I thought what we were doing was having a great time. I thought we were happy. I thought we were sharing intimacy. And the lying broke all of that. All of that was taken away because it was fake. What's so devastating about lying is how it shakes the foundations of everything you know to be real and true. It is a vicious, vicious slave master. And lying doesn't just simply have to be between you and another person. The worst kind of lies are actually self-deception. Self-deception is a brutal slave master. When we lie to ourselves about who we are, or what we've done, or what is true, it doesn't do anything but lead to ultimate servitude. So you go and, you know, you put the false images on social media, and they just become a shackle around your neck, because what happens is you become stuck living in the unhappiness of this whole charade that you're putting on. Like, you can't break free and go do something different that would actually make the life you wanted. No, you have to stay inside of the lie and keep it up. That's the only way to keep going from it. And it's just, it constricts on you. The slavery of lying is merciless. But the hope of the gospel is greater. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:33. And you know this verse. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that the hope of those who are shackled by lies is the truth. If lying brings slavery, then the opposite of lying, that is the truth, brings the opposite of slavery, which is freedom. The truth brings freedom. And that can be a big T truth, kind of an absolute truth. That can be little t truths of lesser things. You know, you think about if you tell a small lie, kind of a small L, and you're in a small slavery. Take the social media appearances thing. The small t truth will still set you free from this. So that, you know, you're trying to put this appearance up about your life, and it's all a lie, and you can't keep up. But if you were honest with yourself about who your what your life is and who you really are. If you were honest to say, my life is not anything like what I make it out to be, you would experience freedom. You would begin to experience the freedom that comes with not having to keep up that appearance anymore, and the freedom to actually live the life that would be good and right and beautiful. Maybe you've seen this in a very poignant way in the life of an alcoholic. Have you ever seen an alcoholic get sober? You know what they do? You know what the first thing they do is? They stop lying about who they are and what they're doing. And when they tell the truth, that's why they say, you know, I am Alec, I am an alcoholic. That's why they say those things. Because when they say what is true, the shackles fall off. I've seen it. I mean, it's just like, all of a sudden, it's nothing is the same. And though the road is hard, the freedom is real. Truth in all situations brings freedom. We're talking here in some ways about little L lies and little t truths. But there is a great lie that we tell. And there is a great truth that we need to come to see. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 with me. Keep that one open for a minute. We'll go through it. Listen to the scriptures tell you what the great lie is. Therefore, God gave them is us, right? Gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they, this is the important part, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and they served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So the great lie is to exchange the truth about God for something that is false. The great lie is to worship things other than God. It is to attribute to things made the quality of the one who is unmade. See, the example of this is the prophet Aaron. So after the Jews have been led out of Egypt in slavery by God, Moses goes up on the mountain. Aaron comes down and he fashions this golden calf, and he brings it out before the people. And he says of the golden calf, "Behold your God who brought you out of slavery in Egypt." What a lie! What a lie that everybody knew, and that Aaron, everybody knew the golden calf. This thing was made an hour ago. And yet they believed the lie and they went along with the lie. The great lie is that we say God isn't God. And Paul outlines very clearly the consequences, the utter slavery that ensues when you believe the great lie. Look in verse 26 of Romans 1 with me for a moment. Let's read through verse 32. "For this reason," it says, "God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchange natural relations with those that are contrary to nature." He's describing homosexual acts here. He says, "And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and they were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." And then verse 28, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness." Listen to the manner of unrighteousness here. "Evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossipers, slanderers, haters of God. They are insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. They are foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them," and this is a really damning part for another sermon, "but they give approval to those who practice them." The great lie is to say God isn't God. And that lie has led to all forms of unrighteousness. It has led to us to being gossipers and slanderers and haughty and insolent, to being murderers and adulterers and homosexuals. It has caused us to be ruthless, faithless, heartless. It has unleashed all sorts of consequence and slavery. But hear the hope and the tragedy of our one great lie. Jesus says, if you will know the truth will set you free. If you will know the truth will set you free. What is the truth? Jesus actually says it very explicitly, just a few words before that statement in verse 31. He says, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. My word. Jesus says it in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. The truth is the Son of God and his will given in the Word of God. That is the Holy Scriptures. Jesus Christ and his infallible Word are the great truth. And the great truth brings freedom. It brings the right. It brings the good. It brings the beautiful. You know, sometimes I'm around town and maybe somebody will recognize me or knows you and therefore kind of has an idea of who I am, and we'll start talking and, oh, you're the pastor, you know, that kind of thing. And people don't go to church here. It happens more than you would think. People sort of are curious. Why, what is going on over there? Why is that going well? And I'm not sure they're really asking it in a nice way a lot of times, so I don't always respond in a nice way, you know what I'm saying? Which, again, it's not a pastorly thing to do, but in my sarcasm, sometimes I'll say, it's probably our incredible building. That's what's happening here. And I'll say, maybe it's the pyrotechnics that happen up front during our worship songs. You know, we don't even have a screen in this church. What kind of church doesn't have a screen? Maybe it's our million-dollar organist and our organ and our killer organist. It's not that, I can tell you that. Maybe it's our banger staff, you know, that's severely undermanned and bleeding people continuously. That's not either. Maybe it's the mangy pastor, I don't know. People want to know. And they want to know why. And it's you know why. You know why it works. You know why you're here. It's the truth. You're here because of the truth. It's the big T truth that you, as a community of believers, have built your life upon. And so no matter how fashionable, no matter how cool the lies of postmodern relativity are, turns out people are desperate for the truth. They turn on the news. It's a sea storm of lies out there. Every day, I mean, you look at your phone and the social media, the big social media corporations, they're filtering out the truth. Our friends, they have all sorts of theories, which we know are mostly bogus. We head in to one of the nice, tall, steeple churches in our town. And we think to ourselves, okay, we're going to go in this place, and they'll probably tell us the truth. But they're just like everybody else. They lie. They lie for power. They lie for their own goods. They water down the gospel, and they make it into nothing, and it becomes nothing other than a golden calf of lies. You know, we're inundated with these things. We're told these things are true. You know, it's this transgender deal. Let me tell you what that is. That's just a flat breaking of the ninth commandment. That's all it is. It's just a lie. They said they want to tell us that this boy is a girl and the girl is a boy. Everybody in the room knows that's a lie. It's not true. And then you walk into this clunky building, up those poorly designed stairs. And you sit down in that pew, and someone opens up the Bible. And they begin to tell you what it says. And what it says is the truth. You know, the world likes to say that this preaching of God's word, it's no longer what people want. You know, you gotta say the things that people want to hear. You gotta talk about the things that are relevant. You know what I found? That's baloney. People are desperate for this. I'm desperate for this. I am desperate for somebody to open the Word of God and just to simply tell me what it says. I'll deal with it. It's okay. You know, and that's the thing about the truth. Sometimes we think because the truth is right that means it's going to be really easy. And it's often the opposite. The truth is right, but it makes it really, really hard. Sometimes the truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes the truth, it's like a sharp needle going into a really tender place. Because what the truth does is it confronts and it unmakes the lies that we have been holding dear for years and years and years. It's not the truth. The truth is not a warm glass of milk often. Especially when you've been living in the great lie. But because it's the truth, and this means when it is spoken clearly, when it does become offensive, and that's why we try to do it clearly, because it's the truth, even though it can hurt. What it ultimately brings is freedom. The truth brings freedom. So we will be a people of the truth. We will be a people who spend our lives loving it and promoting it and proclaiming it and convincing others of it, because we want people to have freedom. If they come to know the truth, they will come to be set free from it. And the great lie is we have exchanged the truth of God for false witness. We have attributed to all sorts of undeserving and created things the glory of God, and it has left us in a mess of slavery. But our God has come. The one who is the truth has broken through the veil of lies, and he has come to set captives free. The truth is, you're not okay. You're not. So set down the lie. Take up Christ. Come to Jesus. Be forgiven. Be acquitted of your sins. Be given the privilege of being called a son and not a slave. Come to Christ by faith in Jesus. And receive the royalties of truth lovers and truth abiders. The royalty of eternal life. The royalties of a heavenly inheritance. The greatest royalty, that of freedom. 1 John 1:8 that you hear us speak very often in this church says this: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that all you need to do to have freedom from your slavery is to confess your lies and to believe the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Beloved, come and lay down your lies. Take Christ. Be free. Let's pray. Lord, we don't have to even go very far on the list from Romans 1 to know that we found ourselves in the mess of our lies, in the slavery and its mastery over us. Lord, I pray that you would set people in this room free. I pray, God, that you would call one or many to lay down their lies and to take Christ, to believe in him as Lord and Savior, and to be set free. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, by the mysterious work that not one of us controls but comes from you, would you do such a thing? Would it be for your glory? Would we be a people that can proclaim the truth and the hope that many of us have experienced, that upon coming to Christ, the chains fell off and the light floods in? It's in your name that we pray. Amen.